Item number eight. From the Employee Benefits Work Group requesting authorization to implement, as soon as permitted by law, wage and benefit policies for active employed members of AFSCME District Council 48 by amending sections 17.10, 17.14, and 17.16 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances. At the April 21st County Board meeting, this item was referred back to the Committees on Finance and Audit and Personnel. The Committee on Finance and Audit approved this item again, but by a vote of 3-2.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Mr. Grady told us yesterday the controversy is the right word. The question being that AFSCME has approached and sent a letter to the county board asking to, saying they would go along with most of the considerations that we have previously passed in the budgets in 2010 and 2011. Previously, both the Finance Committee and the Personnel Committee passed unanimously to go along with the issue we have in front of us on number eight. What number eight does is then have AFSCME go along with the other budget projections that we did or that we passed in 2010-2011. So I look at it separately as a finance member and as personnel committee, as a finance committee member. There's no question that major reason finance passed it. There are savings, no question involved. You can look at the numbers if we go along with this. But the biggest point I want to make is that we understand that none of these things can happen until and if Senate Bill number 10 passes, which is in litigation right now, which is going to go till June at least. Okay? So this brings up the question of what happens in the interim. Well, in the interim, the union certainly is very welcome, and it's encouraging to see that they want to come forward and to look at this, the things we've been asking for 2 years in budgets that we've done to non-elected, I mean to elected, and to all the other non-reps and three smaller unions. So, you know, we've been trying to get everybody in the same board, but we know it's easier said than done because it's collective bargaining that has to be done. AFSCME didn't have to do these things, and they haven't. Okay? So, but I don't want to mix up the two. Number one here, finance passed it 3-2, but that this doesn't negate the opportunity for AFSCME to come forward in our labor relations, and I certainly hope this is the case, in bringing forward something to personnel on this issue. Certainly the board shouldn't be making, I don't know how we, you know, take a stand. We don't pass things until labor relations and the unions get together, the process, and then is brought forward to personnel. So I think these are two separate issues. This issue, I think we should vote on itself. This issue then prepares us in case something happens, and we should be prepared. We shouldn't be waiting until something happens. And if we see nothing happening by the summer, then, you know, but if something does happen, we're prepared. And it's consistent, and I think we have responsibility. Certainly I take a responsibility, like I said, in passing the budget. We passed the budget that had these other concessions in there for everybody else. Okay? If something happens in the state, then we have the opportunity to get the concessions we've looked for everybody for the last 2-3 years. Okay? And it is separate. And I think that was Mr. Grady's point he made to us yesterday in finance. So we can still have negotiations. That can happen anytime. And certainly, you know, if the bill would pass, then negotiations are cut off. So that's the whole point, okay? That is certainly, I would hopefully encourage negotiations to happen as soon as possible so we can bring it in front of personnel and look at it and see if indeed what AFSCME is talking about is exactly what we passed in the budget the last couple of years, the concessions in 1972, that's the health, and 1950 is the pension. And we've done all those things already. We've done, you know, 2 to 1.6, the 60 to 64, increased costs in health, nurses, one of the unions, and the rest of us have taken all those. The pension payment, we're making pension payments now, as you all well know, okay, that this would be enacted too. So this, all this does, not to be confused, it says, you know, it does something automatically. We'd have at least a month to tell our retirees. We'd have to have an interim period for them to know about these changes because it would affect health a little bit, and increase co-pays, et cetera. Okay? But this resolution, all it does is put us in a situation and prepare to do something in case that bill passes. Negotiations can go on outside this process. This bill has no effect on any negotiations because it won't happen until something would happen in Madison, if that's ever going to happen. It's in litigation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Grady.
Mr. Chairman, if I can just follow up and echo Supervisor Schmidt's comments. Yesterday at Finance, after Bill Molenauer spoke to the committee, I was asked whether or not the passage of this item would interfere with or prevent the county from negotiating with the unions. At the time yesterday, what I said was that the interest arbitration proceeding that is occurring with the unions relates to the 2009-2010 contract. This would have no effect on those proceedings. What I said yesterday is that it might affect 11 and 12. I need to clarify that. This adoption of this will not prevent the county, will not stop the county, is not legally inconsistent with the county negotiating with its unions up until the date the budget repair bill passes. You can adopt this resolution because this resolution only affects things after the budget repair bill passes or if and when it passes. Up until that date, you can adopt this and continue to negotiate if you so choose. So there is no legal inconsistency between taking this action and continuing to negotiate.
Thank you, Mr. Green.
I'm going to move approval, too, Mr. Chairman, on this resolution. Okay.
Supervisor Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, that's a good, I think, backdrop so that the shorthand way of my looking at this is that the resolution gives us or directs the department to implement changes, but those changes will only be available to us once state law is amended. When this was before the full board at our last meeting, before it was referred back, I had an amendment prepared to offer to the board, and I'd worked with Mr. Session and Mr. Grady on this, and I'm going to offer it now for the committee. The language in the resolution speaks to those changes being effective upon the adoption of 2011 Wisconsin Act 10. And this amendment is really sort of a precautionary measure or an additional what-if provision that says that if these changes are enacted in some other form outside of Wisconsin Act 10, for example, if they are put into a new bill or if they are enacted as part of the biennial budget as opposed to the budget repair bill, that we would be able to avail ourselves of those changes. So it's a semantic change. It's a precautionary change, so that we're not in a trick box where if the law is changed outside of Act 10, our resolution doesn't become ineffective. I move this amendment to the resolution, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Rice. Any Supervisor Lipson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a fiscal note on this item. I don't know if that was, I'm sure it was before it was the last time, but my understanding from what I heard, that I heard of Comptroller's comments yesterday, was that this is neutral relative to the offset with furloughs. Is that accurate or not? That was the statement I heard attributed. I didn't see it. How is the, if you could explain the fiscal and particularly the issue of is this fully offset by the furloughs, so it's just a question of which process we go to get the same result?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Manson.
When specifically referring to this fiscal note for this related item, for AFSCME DC 48, this item is offset for the items that are indicated in here by the furlough days that are currently implemented for AFSCME DC 48. Okay. In terms of the total county, the purpose of the furloughs that were instituted for AFSCME DC 48 was to offset the items that were included in Org 1972 related to health care, pension, overtime changes that were to have been implemented in 2010. Okay. So the purpose of the furloughs was to offset items that were to have been implemented in 2010 that were, in essence, carried forward to 2011 and included in Org 1972. The changes proposed for 2011 that were included in the Org 1972 was pension changes. Related to the 2% pension contribution, 3% in July, and then 4% at the end of the year. The furlough days were not intended to relate to that. Those pension changes are reflected in here because of the fact that the state budget repair bill would be going to a 6% pension contribution, which would, in essence, cover that item. Furlough days were not intended to cover that, okay, but that is an item that's in there. The intent within Org 1972 to potentially cover the issue of the pension cost, the 2%, the 3%, the 4%, was that the county was to look at other means in order to cover that item, such as additional furlough days, layoffs, whatever. The other thing included within the budget in 2011 was health care changes related to retirees for all of the unions. Those items were not included in Org 1972. Those items were included in Org 1950, and they were adopted into the budget as if they would be there. So there was nothing to offset those items if those items weren't adopted. We're currently looking at in doing a report for where we are for a fiscal status for 2011. That was a total of about $5 to $6 million that was included in the Org 1950 for health care savings that would be achieved. But there was no offset to those related items. Going back to your specific question, for the items that are related in here, the furloughs are offsetting the items that are related to this. So my whole point to all of this is that there are other matters outside of this issue here that the county has to be concerned about in covering when it's dealing with 2011. The health care changes for retirees for the various unions that still have a provision, which is and retirees. And there are certain changes related to the pension, but because of the amount of the furlough that is implemented, that's going to cover the items that are currently indicated in here. If the budget repair bill goes into effect, you know, and these items are not adopted immediately because you would get the benefit of the pension contribution on an immediate basis. Okay, it's kind of a complicated soup that is involved here because of the number of different changes that have occurred in 2010 and 2011. Which are included in the budget, which are, you know, partly included in, you know, the budget, which are offset with furlough days, which are to be offset maybe with more furlough days and layoffs, or not offset at all. But my answer yesterday was specific related to looking at the fiscal notes for this item, and that, yes, it would be offset by the continuation of the furlough days.
And then, okay, I think I got the heart of the essence of it. But it so then it also raises the question, so why are those other aspects not part of what we would be moving to implement here? those other elements are not included.
One of the elements was already handled by means of the previous in, I believe it was in March, was it March? The adoption for the retiree, the change to retiree health care, that would be put into place upon adoption of the state budget repair bill. And that item has been adopted. The items which are not included in here that we are still looking at is, for example, the pension change, which is going from the 2% to the 1.6% multiplier going forward, the change for new employees to go from an age of 60 to an age of 64 for retirement, and then the other items that are not included in here are the 2011 health care changes for that have been adopted for non-represented employees but have not been adopted here. Those items, however, were not included in the budget. You know, it wasn't included in Org 1972. It wasn't included as a savings in Org 1950. So the decision of the Employee Benefits Group was to deal with the items that were included in the budget, and I believe the only item that is missing from this piece here right now is the pension-related items of the 1.2% to 1.6% and the age 60 to 64 for new employees.
Mr. Chairman, if I may add, the intention or the hope is to bring that matter through the next cycle. Our actuary was busy doing the evaluation report and didn't have time to do the necessary reports for those items for this cycle.
I don't even know who can answer this, but I guess on the one hand, I find it difficult to not to vote for it with respect to the fact that I voted for the budget that included it, and yet when I compare it to what we think we're getting, or what we think would be the effect of Act 10, it seems that it's less than what will be available in Act 10, that there are these other items outstanding. And so it seems to me that our greater advantage would be in negotiation, in getting a voluntary settlement that would include substantially all of the items effective immediately, rather than moving on a portion of them now, still having these other items held out.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I just would caution you because, again, you have closed session for collective bargaining, and the question, as I've advised you, you can negotiate and pass this. And so I think if you want to talk about negotiation and what you want to do through negotiation, you should do that in your closed session item. And I just want to caution you not to get into that kind of negotiation discussion in open session.
Thank you. Okay, I'm new to personnel, but I can wait for the other's response to that at a later time. But I guess for point of explanation of my vote, to vote for this for me is to be consistent with my vote on the budget. That does not in any way signal that I wouldn't prefer a different method of getting all of this and more.
Supervisor Rice. No, I'm sorry. Supervisor.
Well, he can go right
there.
Oh, okay.
All right. I think the point's being made. I want to go back to my original. I want to try to answer that, too. And I think you're right. I do feel an obligation voting for the budget, too, that this is what we had in the budget, and these are the kind of things we've been asking to get. Now, you know, we tried to make that compromise, and I'm not going to go through the whole history of it, okay? But it was a difficult process, and you know, our responsibility is to try everything we can to balance the budget, and this would really help us do it if the budget bill passed. In the interim, if we could get something voluntary, I think that'd be great. But I don't think we can talk about it anymore. That has to be, you know, negotiated and has to be brought to us, and that can happen. So both things can happen. I don't think we have to split hairs. You can vote for one, vote not vote for the other, because both can happen. And it, proof is in the pudding. We got to look at the contract before, you know, we can't talk about something that's not on paper and we haven't voted on and looked at. Okay. And also, I would just say, I am just really don't want to keep the same system we got going, that we're trying to balance a budget by furloughs. I think this is awful, you know, because look at how many people we exempt. I mean, we're defeating the whole purpose, 24/7, this and that, the sheriffs. You know, we got a small percentage of people carrying the weight for the great majority of us. It's not fair, okay? We have to get a system and follow a budget. And, you know, we did furloughs begrudgingly, and it was the county board, our, you know, the previous finance committee, okay, that did this. And I went along with it because it avoided layoffs. We threatened, you know, to balance the budget. We know we could have laid off people. The previous county executive didn't want to do it election time. We know that, okay. This county executive doesn't want it. And who wants to do layoffs, okay? But to continue this policy of furloughs when it's so inequitable to start with, we got all sorts of people that are exempt from it. It defeats the purpose. So we got, what, 1,300 workers, I think, at maximum. I mean, we can get the exact figures, but this is probably pretty close, okay? 1,100, 1,300 people. So, Katie, are you shaking your head? Is that about right? Okay. Anyway, certainly a smaller percentage of people, they're carrying the weight for everybody else. This is not a way to balance a budget to keep these furloughs going. And then we can do something about it. If it stops in negotiations, I presume then too. You can pro-rata then, and we can go back, and we don't do furloughs anymore. We're decimated the way we are. This is why we gave all these exemptions, because we say it'll be extreme loss of services, okay? And, you know, the nurses and the 24/7. You can make arguments everybody's valuable then. But, again, this is why, you know, I want to see both things happen, because this is not the way things should be done, the way we're working. We begrudgingly did what we had to do to try to balance a budget, which is our obligation. And we got to continue these things to do that. Thank you.
We have a motion by Supervisor Schmidt to concur with finance.
Let's look at the amendment first.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have the amendment, yes.
I got a question here, and I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
And I understand the intent of the maker, and, you know, again, when you get something, you know, right here, it's a little difficult. I'd sure like to look at it more, but I understand the intent. Maybe Supervisor Rice could just re-summarize this, and then an Incorporation Council could possibly, I know if you had a chance to look at Incorporation Council, it's not something we have to worry about in that matter, so. Am I putting too much pressure on you, Supervisor Rice?
No, I'll take a shot at it, and
okay.
Mr. Grady can correct me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Here's the scenario. In the event that the state legislature enacts the changes that were a part of the budget repair bill in another piece of legislation that is not called Wisconsin Act 10, okay, if it does that in the biennial budget or if it does it in a separate bill, all right, the resolution that we have before us without this amendment would essentially be ineffective because it refers to Wisconsin Act 10. So that's why my changes talk about the legal, the effect of those changes, whether they be in Wisconsin Act 10 or a substantially similar state law. So it's designed to provide for the eventuality that these changes are enacted in Madison in some enactment some bill other than Act 10. Is that am I clearing that up for you? So if we don't enact this resolution,
and
the legislature puts them into the biennial budget, then I think somebody can make the argument, no, we can't implement this because it was talking about Act 10 and Act 10 never was passed.
Yeah, and I guess in response, please, if I can, I mean, this is because we're talking future scenarios and possibilities and what can happen. I think anything that happen will probably be litigated if it goes to the extent that number 10 does. And so we'll probably be in the same situation, but, you know, I understand if anything comes out, it'll be litigated, but I guess I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Any other questions on the amendment? Okay, please call the roll on it.
Sorry.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Cesars.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to approve the amendment is
approved. I'd like to move as amended.
No further comment. We'll please call the roll on that.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Cesars.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to item number 9.